Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
It is the third week of April already. Over halfway through, it has flown by. The first week of April was Easter. And so for Easter, we had an Easter service, but we did highlight the suffering of Christ. And that goes along with our series for the month of April, which is How to Survive Suffering. And last week, Pastor Evan was here, and he talked about how peace is a trait of the kingdom of God, not of the fallen world. And so in the face of suffering, in a series on suffering, we talked about peace and how those might seem like opposites, but really they work together in the Lord's kingdom. And so today we are going to be talking about hope in the midst of suffering. And so I want us to think about what our reaction to suffering is. And there's many directions that our mind could go with that. I know for me, what I tend to do is have a little pity party. If I'm having a bad day or things don't go my way sometimes. I am an only child, so that's my excuse for that. If things don't go my way, I can often find myself frustrated, and I just sit in it, and I don't want to solve it. I just want to sulk. I just want to kind of sit in my puddle and be upset. And so that's kind of my response to suffering or when things don't go our way, when we're facing hardship. But what would your response be? Maybe it's anger. Maybe you lash out at the situation or the people around you. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's pity, like me. Maybe you blame. Maybe as soon as something goes wrong, you're like, who can I point my finger at? Who can I blame this on? Maybe you do everything to avoid it. Shove it down, bottle it up. Maybe the suffering brings some negative emotions. You're like, I don't want to feel, I don't want to think, I don't want to talk about it. Just forget about it, move on, distract myself. Maybe you run from it as far as you can to avoid the situation or the people. Maybe you just give up, which is kind of like sitting in the puddle, right? Like, I'm not going to try to solve this. I'm just going to accept my fate, that everything sucks, that there's suffering, this is horrible. Or maybe you try to logic your way around it. Well, like, maybe if X, Y, Z didn't happen, so maybe I'll try to change it and this won't happen again. Or I can bring forth different circumstances if I just do the best that I can in my will to change the situation. And so how we respond to suffering matters. And our scripture for today is from Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. It will be on the screen. This is what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the Lord's word. And so we might say, what does it mean to glory in our sufferings? And essentially, what I kind of want to boil it down to is to glory in our sufferings is simply a perspective shift. We are not going to sulk. We are not going to turn to blaming. We are not going to turn to anger or any of those things that maybe in our hearts, in our humanness, we long to turn to in suffering. But rather, the perspective shift is that we can glory in suffering. What does it mean to glory in suffering? I think it's just that. It's the perspective shift. It's the opposite. It is not that we need to feel crushed by it. I think of the verse somewhere else in the New Testament that says, we are crushed but not broken, we are perplexed. You know what I mean, that one. I can't quote it right off. But this idea that suffering doesn't have to be what sometimes we think it is. It doesn't have to be all-consuming, but that the Lord meets us in it and does something different. The root words of the phrase here, the one where it's like the list, it says, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Those words could be changed in their root language. Synonyms might sound like this. Suffering leads to endurance, which leads to experience, lived experience, which leads to hope. Or maybe suffering leads to patience, leads to proving, and leads to hope. There's this flow of things in the word that we see in the face of suffering, how God brings good, how God uses it for good. And so I think the next slide here will, highlight hope specifically. It has that word three times in this passage because that is the end result. The world might say that suffering is the worst thing, there's no way to escape it, or maybe they think there is and they keep on trying. But we know that the end result, as per God's word, is hope. And like I said, in those phrases, no matter what word we change, it ends with hope. That we might experience suffering, but it brings forth good things in us. And in the end, it is hope. It equals out to hope. And so when we have hope in the glory of God, in his goodness, his nearness, and his kindness, it's this perspective shift that we can glory in our sufferings, because suffering puts that hope to the test, right? When we're facing suffering, when we're having a hardship, whether it's to ourselves or someone around us, which when I look around this room and having had conversations with many of you, we're all in unique circumstances that bring forth their own trials. And even in that, God is working. The Spirit is working. And so from that, we see these things happen. And when we have this perspective shift, the hope is put to the test. But you want to know what happens when our hope is put to the test through suffering? It stretches it. It increases our capacity to hope. And when your hope has this growing endurance, like something that's being tested or tried, and it comes out standing, it comes out stronger. It gets proven more and more in the face of problems. So then, the next time something arises that feels like suffering, when maybe we want to fall back into those reactions we might have had at the beginning, no. Last time, God proved it true that I ended with hope through his Spirit, and this time, walking into it, I know that there is hope more and more because he continues to prove himself. But without the pain, without that stretching, your hope doesn't get tested. And something that you've experienced, like this suffering or these trials, and have lived out, is not the same as when someone hasn't. I think we think of that for many new believers, right? They're new to this. They're understanding the word. It's their first time hearing it or knowing Jesus and relating to him. And so maybe we as more seasoned believers think, oh yeah, I remember some of those first lessons that the Lord taught me. But we recognize that he continues to teach us. It gets stretched further and further the more that we turn to him. And so in the lived experience of suffering and overcoming and knowing that when we have the perspective shift to glory in our sufferings, that God gives us hope, that experience leaves us with more and more hope to face whatever else is to come. And so our one-line point for today is when your hope is in Jesus, suffering makes your hope stronger. Stronger. There's three illustrations I want to touch on with this idea. The first is the idea of exercising. I think many of us can understand where this is going. We have muscles, naturally. You're born with them. But as you exercise, those muscles are torn. The fibers of them tear, and we sweat, and all these different things happen biologically and chemically in our bodies. But these tears in our muscles create gaps for protein to go to then build it more and more. Now, we don't think of tearing or stretching or creating gaps as a positive thing, and we know that it's not, but it produces the results that we're looking for. If you don't tear the muscle fibers, you don't get stronger. And so for those who go to the gym or work out or things like that, or you can imagine this scenario, when you see the heavy weight at the gym, you know it's going to be heavy, but you still choose to pick it up. And it's probably going to hurt, but you lift it because it will make you strong. And of course, that illustration falls apart a little bit. Not always is suffering sitting in front of us and we choose to pick it up. Sometimes it feels like it happens to us, which is often the case in this broken world. But nonetheless, how are we taking the weight of suffering or trials or hardships and pain and recognizing that it is making us stronger? When you glory in your suffering, you know it's going to be heavy. You know it's going to be hard. And it's going to hurt a lot. But you lean into it because you know what God can do with it. The second illustration is the idea of the potter and the clay. I'm sure many of us have seen this illustration or seen a video, or maybe we have even taken a pottery class. I've never, but I've seen lots of videos, my friends have too, where you have this clump of clay. It doesn't add up to much, doesn't look like much. But the potter slaps it onto the wheel and begins to craft something out of it. And you know something? This illustration is used in Scripture for who God is to us, that he is the potter and we are the clay in his hands, that he forms us and shapes us into what he wants us to be. But even with that, there are times in the reality of making pottery where maybe you're forming it and it doesn't go as planned. Do you know what they do? They just scoop it all up, no matter how much work they've done. They mold it into a ball again and slap it back on the wheel. That doesn't sound enjoyable. That doesn't sound fun. That doesn't sound anything good. But that's the reality of seeing something formed into the way that God would want it to be. And so we are like the clay in the potter's hands. And we know that God is sovereign. He is God of our lives and we are not. Which means that if he chooses to throw us back onto the wheel and continue to shape us, it might cause pain. But the end result of what he's creating, it is hopeful, it is good, it is beautiful, and it is more than we could ever ask or imagine, because his plans for us are good. And the third and final illustration for this idea of glory in our suffering, hope in suffering, is the idea of a refiner's fire. And so we're going to watch a quick video. It's 40 seconds. We're going to make sure that the volume's good because it's small on the screen. You won't be able to read it, but listen to what this video says.
God sits and refines us like silver. The thing I was reading, they talked to a silversmith and they didn't tell him, like, hey, we're Christians and we're trying to investigate this refining of silver, so tell us about it. And so the silversmith is like, yeah, you have to sit here because you have to keep a very close eye on it, and the edge of the fire won't work. It's got to be right in the middle of the fire. And then the person was like, how do you know when it's refined? And the guy goes, you just see your reflection in it. And you think, well, buddy, that'll preach.
Right.
That God has no problem putting you in the middle of the fire until we get burned away and his image comes through. God sits and refines.
Did you hear that? Not the edge of the fire, not just like a little bit of heat, but right in the middle. Right in the middle. And it stays there. Whatever metal the refiner is crafting, it stays there in the middle of the heat, where it's hot, where it's burning, where it's not comfortable, until what? Until the refiner could see his reflection in it. And so how much more does God relate like that with us? It's so interesting. And like they said in the video, they just kind of approached a silversmith and said, just tell us the process. No idea that they were trying to make it relate to the way God relates to us, but it so evidently does. Sometimes I'm just amazed with some of these visual ways that we can experience God's truth. What a blessing that he would have the grace for us to be able to understand things in these simpler ways that are so complex, right? And so the refiner's fire is such a good example. And I think of making swords or anything like that. If you've watched, I can't think of the name of the show, but there's a show about silversmiths and things like that, Forged in Fire, something like that. But yeah, thanks, Mikey. So they put the sword in, and it's in the heat until they decide it's ready, and then they pull it out, and they have to hit it to make it strong. And so in that, there's a lot of discomfort. But nonetheless, there's something beautiful and good produced from it. Malachi 3:3 says this, and this is the scripture that they had on the screen at the beginning of that video. It says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." So that's a specific example about the tribes of Israel in the Old Testament. But still it applies to us today. Gold and silver is created when it is refined and all of the impurities are burned away. And so how much more is that true for us? That no matter what season of life we're in, no matter what we're experiencing, God sees the ways that he can make us more like him. That he can make us more like the most beautiful and fullest version of ourselves that he created us to be. And that takes place in the face of suffering, in the face of being in the fire. And something else they mentioned at the beginning of that video was that the silversmith is never far. He has to keep a close eye on the work that he's doing. Same with a potter. If he's crafting this clay, he can't just walk away while it's spinning on the wheel. He has to stay close with his hand on it, watching it every second, never far. And that is true for us in the face of suffering, which sometimes it's easy to just say that word. And I mean, that's our theme. That's what we're talking about this month. But that goes deep. We've all been in the face of suffering and the depth of heartache and pain. Even there, God is with us. He is never far. And so how do we apply this? The application is to glory in your suffering. What exactly does that even mean? Well, it looks like accepting it. Like I said, for me to just kind of go and sit in a little puddle, and it's almost a level of not accepting the experiences that I'm having, as though I'm just putting up a little fit in hopes that it'll change. But we need to take it on the chin. We need to look ahead and stand up straight in the face of suffering, because Jesus didn't promise that this would be easy. He didn't promise us a little walk in the park if we were truly going to live for him, which is the only way worth living. He didn't say it would be a walk in the park. There is suffering, there is trials. And something that brings me so much comfort, especially as we come out of the Easter season, is that he suffered so much for us. That he is never, ever far. I think of the shame and the mocking and the humiliation that he experienced, the physical hurt, the abuse. Sometimes we experience those things on this side of heaven, and we think that God can't relate, that he's just this big guy in the sky that we pray to and hope that he'll understand. But no, Jesus knows firsthand a lot of our suffering, and he chose to face it in order that he could be with us and walk with us in ours. How do we glory in our suffering? We grieve, but we don't despair. This is not to say, push all your feelings down and just like stand up strong even when you don't want to. No. That would never be what the Lord wants for us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to come to him in honesty and in transparency, that we might cry, we might be angry, we might lash out in prayer, but that's what that space is for. That's what he longs to have with us, is this really vulnerable relationship. And so in that, we can bring everything to him, and we have to grieve. We do. That is such an important thing of our humanness, that we would know how to sit in the face of loss and trials and hardships and heartache beyond what words could describe and give it to the Lord. But we cannot despair. We cannot sit in our puddles or make a pity party. We need to let it become a challenge instead of a punishment. Our God is a good God, but we do live in a broken world. And he tells us that there will be suffering. Does that mean he is directly causing it because you did something wrong? Not at all. But it does mean that he will be with us in the midst of it, and he will bring something good out of it. It's a challenge that we can face, an opportunity to be stretched, even though it might hurt, but to grow. And so in the face of it, we know it as a challenge, not a punishment. We need to let it draw us closer to God, not further from him. He is always so close. We are the ones that move away. And so in the face of suffering, would we not move away from him, but would we draw close, knowing he is our safety, our peace, and our hope? We need to dig into his ways and not give up on them. His word tells us this. It tells us the scripture that tells us what suffering produces when we do it with the Spirit. And so we can't turn away from his word in the face of it, because this Bible, the word of God that we have free access to, this tells us more of the goodness of God and how he will meet us in our suffering. Keep your eye on the prize, on the result. I was listening to a sermon podcast yesterday, and they touched on generosity, which isn't the topic here at all, but I think they made a point that connects. It's this idea that sometimes we choose to do things in hopes that there's a certain outcome, but ultimately, when we are followers of Jesus, we know that the Lord delights in our offerings, he delights in our obedience, and it's not that he's going to reward us, like we're a little dog that does something right and he gives us a little treat in the moment, but we can store up rewards in heaven, eternal things. In the idea of generosity, the scriptures say to invest and to give and to go forward, not to store things up on earth where moths and vermin destroy, but to store things up in heaven where no one can touch them. And so in the same way, when we keep our eye on the prize, which is Jesus, it's heaven, it's life with him, but also in this life, it's being formed into his likeness. And so when we keep our eye on the prize and recognize that this is part of the process, that is how we glory in our suffering. And we need to be vulnerable with others. For myself, as I was thinking about this sermon and thinking about suffering this month as a whole, one thing that's brought me comfort is knowing that Jesus often felt alone. I heard someone say the other day, how crazy is it that for those of us that are pastors or in ministry, that we are doing this, and sometimes we think it's too hard, or people are mean, or they give us a hard time. And they said, but Jesus himself, like the first pastor, the first shepherd, the one who was teaching us how to do this, people called him a demon. People said he was straight from hell. And so how much would we be able to face that and be okay, right? And so Jesus in and of himself, even though he is the very Son of God, fully God and fully man, he faced many trials and many things where even his disciples were confused and couldn't understand the things of the Spirit that he was living out and teaching, that he felt alone. And even as he went to the cross, he was alone. And that brings me comfort. In this season of life, loneliness has been something that the enemy has been using in and through my heart, my mind, my thoughts. To be living alone and in a new place, which I'm so thankful for each of you. It's coming on 6 months that I've been here, half a year already. And I have felt so loved and cared for by this church. But there are still moments of loneliness. And that's been the suffering that I've experienced lately, and I can't put to words the depth of that. But I am so thankful that this is true, that Jesus is strengthening me in the face of it, that even though days may be hard and weeks may be hard, and it might be easy to get tunnel vision on my circumstances and not see the point, I know that he is working and he will use it for good. And that is the same for you and your circumstances. When you lose your job, you start looking for how God is going to provide you a new job or get you the money that you need without the job. That is what it means to glory in our suffering. When you lose someone you love, you turn to Christ and he meets you right there and walks with you. So that when you should feel the most alone, you actually feel the most seen and loved and connected. He allows us to grieve better when we do it with him. When you get sick, you depend on God more because you just can't physically do it on your own. And he will provide. When you are betrayed, you start to see how any betrayal in this life can't rob you of what God has given you in heaven. When your car breaks down, you watch, even if it takes a long time, how God gets you where you need to go or will provide or use it to point you in the right direction. When you are victimized, you discover the healing power of the Holy Spirit. When you are abandoned, you find that God still wants you and he is never far. And those are just some examples. None of those are good. None of those things are good experiences that we look forward to in life. But God uses them to build us into the people he wants us to be. And I think as I look around the room and as you look around the room with the many lives represented here, and I think of the families and the extended families and the communities and the neighbors that see our lives, when we're vulnerable about how we're suffering, when we're honest about how God is bringing hope in the midst of it, we get to represent Him in our own spaces. And as He is building us each more like Him and more like the person He calls us to be, how powerful is it that we together are a representation of God's kingdom right here on earth? When your hope is in Jesus, all of these hardships, these things will only make your hope stronger.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.